Hey, Amy.
Hi, nice to
Welcome
see
to
you.
Public Diplomat. Welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Professor Amy Schmidt-Weiss from San Diego State University. Amy, I'm going to ask you right away, what is spatial journalism?
Oh, fantastic question. Well, it really is an emerging form of journalism that we see happening today that combines place, space, and location, whether that's virtual, augmented, or physical in the sense of geography, and understanding how that can have an impact on the journalism practice as well as on the public and the news audience that ends up getting their news on a daily basis.
Is this journalism 3.0?
I would say it's like journalism 5.0.
5.0, here we go.
two steps over in terms of moving in that direction.
Walk us back a little bit. Okay, you and I grew up in the age where people actually held physical newspapers. Mm-hmm. Then we move online. The journalism industry was in great distress. They had to kind of reinvent themselves. They focused a lot of their attention on social media and engaging audiences. But how is this new technology empowering journalism as it looks forward?
You know, I think it's a great question that you ask, because I think when we look at the potential of geo and spatial technology, it's being used in other industries, right? Urban planning, architecture, geography, for instance, but hasn't necessarily been dived into as much within the journalism profession. And I think there's such a great opportunity right now for the journalism practice, for journalists here in the US as well as around the world, to see exactly how much they can know their community a lot more, and for the community to connect with each other a lot more. By looking at it from a potential geo and spatial lens, as our world becomes more digital, mobile, and in many cases augmented / virtual too.
Hold on, you're going too fast. I'm not nearly as smart as you are. We have geolocation capabilities, right? So a lot of marketers are using these days. I go in Waze and I get off the exit and it tells me if you go to Taco Bell, we'll give you 50%, 50 cents off a burrito, right? A chalupa, whatever you like to eat at Taco Bell. How? Give me an example of what an editor or a journalist or a reader, how they should think about the use of geolocation technology in journalism.
Sure. I mean, in fact, people are probably doing it now and not even recognizing that they're doing it. Probably within the past week, you have probably typed into Google in some fashion, something near me, put in the keyword near me, nearby. Mm-hmm. It's one of the most popular phrases that gets searched on in Google from month to month, year to year. And so I think people tend to think about that within the context of just a search. But when you apply it to information and the services that journalism can provide to a community, basic information services, it deeply interconnects with that, right? What is the specific public events that are happening near me this weekend? What kind of restaurant might I want to check out for this upcoming weekend or this upcoming week? And what are the reviews? Maybe one wants to know the health inspection reports of how well and how healthy those restaurants in there are in their community. So I think there's a lot of different ways in which we're already using this kind of technology. The location-based services industry, which is called LBS, has been moving very rapidly within the past 10 years. And it's becoming the hidden element in a lot of the technology that we use today. We don't even think about it. If one uses Yelp, if one uses Google Maps, one uses Waze, even aspects of social media right now are also using location-based services on the back end to help the end user be better connected to a particular location and the information.
Right. So you write a lot about the concept of space and place. Mm-hmm. How does this fit to a journalist?
Yeah. Well, space and place is a concept that was identified back in the 70s by a scholar named Tuan. And basically, it kind of takes the idea of how we understand the world around us beyond just a geographical coordinate, for instance, or an address or a zip code, but puts in the context that we all move around in our communities in a different way. And we have meaning and context to those places that we visit. but they also intersect in this wider space that we tend to conceptualize as our community, as our place to be, that we have an identity, a connection with in many ways. And I think for journalists, location, of course, has been at the heart of the industry since it was created, knowing where the news is. But it's not necessarily thinking just within that small context. It's expanding it out and really saying, how is the spaces and places that are important to individuals in a community that I'm covering as a journalist, what can I do to help better understand that? Because there are probably spaces and places that they are interacting with that have specific connotations, meanings, and contexts that are cultural, historical, that have the opportunity for reporters to see those as places to connect with the community, to be able to tell stories, to be able to identify news that may have not been seen from that perspective before. So it really helps to widen the reporter's work by kind of taking that kind of approach and framework.
So can I reframe what you said and
sure.
argue that spatial journalism allows journalists to listen? It's just a form of social listening to audiences so they can better deliver relevant content to their readers?
Well, I think it's more than just listening. Mm-hmm. It's really about engaging in the community and actually being in that particular space and place and having the opportunity to know what those places and spaces are by the reporter actually living in those places, if they're able to, right, and spaces, and really having a chance to dive into what is there and not ignoring the past in which specific locations or places and spaces have been off limits or have not even been considered. I think one of the powerful things that spatial journalism can do is bringing those invisible moments and elements in a community to light, or those locations and areas that often do not get enough coverage, and really revisiting that on a deeper level.
Is this mostly relevant to local journalism, or does this spatial journalism have an application in a wider sense of journalism, like national politics, international?
I think it can have both. I mean, particularly it focuses a lot on local and how much local is at the heart of it when you break it down into several little communities, right, that interconnect. However, you can also see it playing out when you look at bigger issues and topics and subjects that resonate across communities, right, that have an impact nationally and internationally. We as a society have become a lot more mobile, and we move around a lot more than we used to in centuries past. And so people don't always stay in the same location, family, friends, work, et cetera. And so one's particular interest and particular passion for a particular area, region, country, location may vary because they may have spent some time in a particular part of the world and they're still wanting to know what's happening there. Why should they be limited in terms of having access to that news and information just because they live in one specific community right now, where they could potentially be connected to that kind of news and information in several other communities, several other parts of the world too, that is also important to them, which kind of gets back to the bigger aspect of thinking about spatial from that context, that it's not just spatial to your immediate area, but it can be spatial to a wider net as well.
Right. Well, I'm still trying to figure out what we're talking about here. If I'm an editor and I'm sending people to report on the war in Ukraine, how would geolocation technology, how would geographic information guide the coverage?
Yeah. Well, I think one has to be, of course, careful in these moments, right, as they're covering that area and make sure as a reporter that they're following the right safety precautions to keep themselves safe at any time. But I do think that with geotechnology that we have nowadays, they can actually have a better understanding of what is happening on the ground, even if they may not directly be in that particular community at the moment, they might be able to identify from looking at GIS and geospatial technology to see what particular groups or entities are in that particular location. They can also be a source of providing information for help, right? If they are able to identify potential locations for food, for first aid, for instance, in areas that have been impacted by what's happening there. So I think one can look at it from a variety of different perspectives. You can look at it from the standpoint of drones and how much drones could be used in some cases, depending on the area and the safety of such, to help get a visual of a particular area when it may not be exactly as safe for the reporter to walk through. I think there's a lot that can be done within that realm. And also in terms of allowing for the community to see what's happening in their town, if they're now currently living in another country because they've been displaced. So I think there's a lot that reporters can do with geospatial technology, even from their mobile device, and not needing anything too sophisticated to be able to use some of these tools to help them in their reporting.
Right, Amy, so let's make it really practical. If I'm a journalism student right now, what kind of skill sets do I need to pick up along the way that a journalist 20 years ago would not need to have in relation to spatial drones?
Yeah, well, one is, I think part of it is technology, and part of it is also mindset, right? It's okay. A combination of the two. So one is actually starting with the mindset, because that moves everything else forward. And it's kind of rethinking the way in which one looks at the communities around them and really understands that it's not just about a particular address or a zip code, but it's really kind of going into the community to find where are those spaces and places that have meaning to the community, and spending time there, engaging with the community, observing, talking, having conversations, and identifying those areas that have not been paid attention to, not just relying on Google Map to tell you this is this neighborhood. Actually going into the neighborhood and seeing everything in that neighborhood, because Google Maps may not capture, of course, everything that exists in that neighborhood. So it's a mindset of taking a different opportunity and a different lens to look at one's place in space that they're covering around them. With that in mind, then one can go forward to start thinking about all the particular news elements that might come out of that, right? That they could potentially dive into, because now they've engaged with the community. They know what some of these places and spaces might be. For instance, it might be a community center. It might be the library in that community, right? Or it may be a particular restaurant that everyone loves to go to and hang out and have conversation with their friends and such. So by being in those particular spaces and places, one will potentially get those news stories that are important to tell in that community and get the voices and perspectives needed. And then from there, identifying the best way to tell the story. And it might be a matter of actually mapping the history of some of those areas of the community that are lesser known and doing an audio story that travels through a particular set of communities or neighborhoods and connecting it through the mobile phone with a map, for instance. ArcGIS from Esri is one that journalists can use. Of course, GIS has been around for a long time, geographical information systems. One could also use that to help layer different kinds of information about a particular community and tell the story about that community. That's another approach. One can dive into something even deeper, if you want to go there, is looking at photogrammetry and, of course, drones as well, to help, you know, provide before and after of a particular area. Perhaps it was impacted by a natural disaster. So there's a lot of different ways one can take spatial journalism and enact it in their own community, depending on how they want to go about it.
Super cool. Well, we cannot end this conversation without talking about the metaverse, which is the future of journalism and the future of the world in many ways, we assume. And over there, we're reconfiguring the very meaning of what spaces and places are. So if you had to kind of look forward 20 years from now, what do you think journalism is going to be like in the metaverse and in the context of spatial journalism? I know it's a far out question, but I would love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really interesting because, you know, I was in Second Life years ago when it first started. I actually had a virtual journalism learning center where I trained journalists on how to handle natural disasters and crises back in the day, long time ago. And spent a lot of time in that space trying to understand how news could be told in those spaces and how people were taking to it then. So it's kind of interesting how history is repeating itself right now, where we see this happening. And I think, you know, 20 years from now, I think we will see is that intersection of going into a particular space through, you know, a laptop or a desktop probably will be removed in some capacity. It will become a lot more seamless in terms of its integration. I think we'll be going more with an augmented screenless experience that will allow one to really have a different kind of way of interacting versus just using the headset 20 years from now. I think we'll probably be in that mode or just at the beginning of it, and how people will be able to pull apart pieces of news and information from that kind of experience and have even more access to different kinds of information sources than they do now. But they'll be able to better connect it to their immediate area. I think we still have a lot more work to do when it comes to location-based services. And I think with the trajectory of where that industry is going, I think those will be even more interconnected than they are now.
Super cool. So Amy, this is episode 13 of the season of The Public Diplomat. On the last two episodes, I had Dean Freelon and Josh Skako, and I asked them both the same question about the relationship or the marriage between technology, journalism, and democracy. I would love to get your thoughts on this topic. Is technology ultimately empowering journalism or undermining it?
Can we have another podcast to talk about that?
Well, how about you give me a 3-minute answer?
That would be another session, right? Sure. I think, you know, technology has its benefits and its challenges, right? I don't think it's one or the other. I think certainly we in the academy and in the field, the editors, journalists, and publishers have a responsibility in these moments to help people understand what technology is doing right now and how it works from the front end and the back end. Because by knowing more of that, one can have a better understanding as to what would be possible in the future if the technology continues to go off in its own direction. And if we can be more able to communicate and be able to be ahead of what might be programmed in the future, have more of a say in thinking through the ethical and moral circumstances that can come up, the technology doesn't necessarily have the ability to think of, I think we'll be in a better place in that regard. So I think we have a lot more work to do, but I think there's a big responsibility on the media companies and us in the academy to help push that along.
Well, you're definitely pushing along the entire field of spatial journalism, along with many other good, great scholars out there. And I appreciate you coming in. I'm still trying to wrap my head around this concept and about its applications, but today definitely helped me out understand a lot. So Amy, thank you so much for coming in today, and thank you to all of you who've been watching.
Thank you for having me.